crave those roles. By the way, how many of you have gone by Deanna and poofed her into a sandwich? I've heard a few people walk around. Yeah, okay, good, good. I've heard quite a few people go to her. That's good. So God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He provided them manna from heaven. And then we turned to John chapter number 6, and we saw that Jesus made the claim. He said, I am the bread of life. And so as a continuation from Sunday morning, I want to examine manna from heaven and the bread of life, how they relate. And so if you're able to stand, we'll read Exodus chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 14. Now keep in mind, the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness 40 years. So imagine if we are the children of Israel. Now, they were far greater in number than we are here today, but add 40 years to your life today. Yeah, I'd be 76 if my mouth serves me correctly. I'd be pretty old if I was still around. Some may not be around. Some still may be considered young. Some may not be able to see the promised land. Some may get to see it. I don't know. But 40 years is a long time, but God each and every day provided for them manna from heaven. So Exodus chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says, And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. The title is Manna from Heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that lives and abides forever, Lord. We thank you for preserving your word, even to this day and to future generations. Lord, we thank you for how it sustains us, gives us life. Lord, feeds us and guides us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for how you cared for the children of Israel through the wilderness. Lord, we thank you for how you care for us today. Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding, open our hearts and minds, teach us what you want us to learn, help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, if you're able, hold your spot here in Exodus chapter number 16 and turn to John chapter number 6. So, I decided to use this slide because I have lots of different points and lots of different verses. And rather than change back and forth all throughout the Bible, verse here, verse there, we would be here a long time. So, for sake of time, the slides are going to help us, but to start with, we're going to flip back and forth from Exodus 16 to John chapter number 6 as we analyze manna from heaven and the bread of life. So if we were to give them titles, Exodus chapter number 16 is the picture, and John chapter number 6 is the person. So firstly, let's look at some differences. Manna and the bread of life, some differences. There are four. Difference number one, look at verse number 35 in Exodus 16. We'll always start in Exodus and then look at a verse in John 6. So Exodus chapter number 16, verse 35. The Bible says, And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. The first difference is Israel lived on manna for 40 years. Jesus can sustain us all our lives. Look at John chapter number 6. I guess it would have helped if I was there already. John chapter number 6, we're going to look at verse number 27. So Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Every day God provided But that was temporary. It's just for those 40 years. But Jesus, the bread of life, will sustain us all of our lives. John chapter number 6, verse 27, the Bible says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." This meat, this bread of life, is that which lasts until everlasting life. So the moment you trust Christ, until eternity. The moment you trust Christ, you have eternal life. But it's the meat, it's the bread of life that endureth unto everlasting life. Israel lived on manna for 40 years, but Jesus can sustain us all our lives. That's a little bit hard to read. Hopefully you can read it. Let's look at point number two. Difference number two. Manna was temporary for the Israelites. Jesus is eternal for all the world. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 21. Verse 21 says, "And they gathered it every morning, day by day, every morning according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted." So it was temporary. It was only for each and every day. Each day they were to gather what they could eat. Except for the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much because the following day was the holy day and no manna was going to come down. But it was temporary for the children of Israel. But Jesus is eternal for all the world. Turn back to John chapter number 6. Look at verse 32 and 33. The Bible says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Jesus is eternal for all the world, unto everlasting, for all eternity. We won't turn there, but Numbers chapter 1, we see Moses is numbering the children of Israel. And by the time you get to the end and he's numbered all the tribes, the total comes to 603,550 men. But that was only the people who were 20 years and older, those that were able to go to war. It wasn't the tribe of the Levites, it wasn't the women, and it wasn't the children. So some people have estimated that the total number of children of Israel wandering through the wilderness would have been about maybe 2.5 to 3 million people. And when we realize that magnitude of people and how God provided that for them each and every day, the amount of manna that had to come down each and every day to provide for 2.5 to 3 million people is just astounding. But remember, Jesus is eternal for all the world. Here today in the world, there's an estimated population of about 8 billion. It might be slightly over that. And that's just here today. That's not considering people who have already passed, and that's not considering the future. But God's Word, the bread of life, is eternal. It's for all, past, present, and future. The manna was temporary for the Israelites, but Jesus is eternal for all the world. Difference number three. The Israelites ate manna every day, but they still died. Jesus says, "You eat me, the bread of life, you will never die." Look at John chapter number 6, verse 49. Verse 49 says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." He says, if you eat of this bread, if you simply believe that I am the Son of God, that I am who I am, that I paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary, you will live forever. For all eternity, you will have a home in heaven. The manna from heaven was temporary. The Israelites died. But the bread of life gives us life eternal. We will never die. And difference number four, the last difference. Manna was cheap. It had no cost. Just like creation, God, all he had to do was speak it into existence. To command it to come down from heaven and lay upon the ground. It was cheap, free, no cost. But Jesus Christ, he paid the greatest price. He gave of himself. He willingly laid down his life. He paid the greatest price. Look at verse 51 in John chapter number 6. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We quoted John 3:16 just the other day. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So those are four differences. Let's look at four similarities. Turn back to Exodus chapter number 16. While you're doing that, I'm going to get a drink of water. Exodus chapter number 16. Some similarities of manna and the bread of life. Look at verse number 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. The first similarity, manna came from heaven, and Jesus came from heaven. Look at John chapter number 6 again, verse number 38. Hope this isn't too difficult. Verse 38, John chapter number 6 says, Jesus speaking here, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. We'll talk about it a little more in detail a little bit later, but Jesus Christ came from heaven here to earth. The first similarity, manna came from heaven, and so did Christ. The second similarity, look back at verse number 13, Exodus chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. The manna from heaven covered the camp. The second similarity is that manna came to them. Jesus Christ came to us. Look at John chapter number 6, verse 39. The Bible says, And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So the Father sent Him here to us from heaven. We didn't have to go search for Him. He came to us. Whether you were in a church service, whether you were out in public, or somebody came knocking on your door, God sent that person to you, influenced by the Holy Spirit. The children of Israel, they didn't have to go and search for the manna and wonder where it was going to be today. The Bible says it came to the camp where they were. Manna came to them, and Jesus came to us. Similarity number 3. Look back at verse 1 in Exodus 16. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Every time I pause, I want you to say the next word. Similarity number 3. Verse 1, Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, what's that word? Murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For He have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall know the glory of the Lord, for He hath heard, for He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. In all those verses, we read several times that the children of Israel murmured. Similarity number 3, God gave manna to a murmuring, complaining people. Jesus, as well, came to to a murmuring and complaining people. Look at John chapter number 6, verse 41. The Bible says, after Jesus has claimed he is the bread of life, verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And still yet today we are a murmuring people, a complaining people. John 1, 10 through 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He came to a murmuring and complaining people, a rebellious people. And the last similarity verse, or number 4, manna was the only way for life, and Jesus too is the only way for life. Look at John chapter number 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. If we want to live into all eternity, if we want a home in heaven to live with Christ, to be in the presence of God, we must realize that Jesus is the only way for life. John 14, 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. So let's jump from similarities onto pictures of Christ found in manna. Turn back to Exodus chapter number 16. Pictures of Christ found in manna. Look at verse number 14. We'll read 14 and 15. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. It said there lay a small round thing, the first picture of Christ found in manna. A small round thing. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, to a manger. A small little child, a baby, born in Bethlehem. Jesus came, born as a baby in a manger, from heaven down to earth. He was a king in heaven, sitting on a throne, came, humbled himself. Lowly little babe, born in a manger, for you and for I. He could have been born in a palace of royalty. But he took upon himself the form of a servant, a small little child, a baby born in a manger. Born in Bethlehem, by the way, you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. It was a small, round thing. Let's look at the second picture of Christ found in manna. Continuing on with the small, round thing, similar, or number 2, round signifies never ending. Manna was a small, round thing, never ending. You can take your wedding ring, and it is round. It signifies forever. You're to marry your spouse and be married forever. One wife, one husband, one man, one woman symbolizes eternity. It was a small, round thing. Jesus Christ is eternal. He's forever. He's never ending. Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Manna was a small round thing, and Jesus Christ is round as well, living to all eternity forever. And lastly, number 3, turn back to Exodus chapter number 16, verse 31. Exodus chapter 16, verse 31, the Bible says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Focusing on that word, the color of manna, as in white, manna was white. White represents purity and holiness. Jesus Christ we know to be holy, the pure and spotless, sinless Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God, too, is pure and holy, just as the manna from heaven. The Bible talks much about white garments and the blood of Christ washing us white as snow. And there will come a day that some will stand before the great white throne to be judged. white is a symbol of purity and holiness. Now let's move on to Israel's response to manna, or our response to Christ. So Israel's response to manna and our response to Christ. Four things here. Number one, to receive both, you have to realize that there is a need. Each and every day, the children of Israel woke up hungry. They felt the need. They felt the hunger pains. And they realized, to satisfy that hunger, I need to go gather more manna. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If anyone's going to be saved, the first thing they must realize is their need for a Savior. They must realize that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. If they don't realize their need, really, there is no hope. To receive both manna and Christ, you have to realize that there is a need. Number two, to receive both, you must stoop down or humble yourself. Each and every morning when the children of Israel gathered that manna, it came down from heaven, but it says it was on the ground. It was not on their tables. It wasn't up in the trees. It was down on the ground. And every morning when they got out of bed and went out into the camp, they had to kneel down and gather it. And you and I, if we're going to come to Christ, we must humble ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, this is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot come to Christ in our pride. We must come to Christ in our humility. To receive both, you must stoop down and humble yourself. Number three, they both must personally be received. Verse 21 in Exodus 16 says, according to their need. Each man was to gather it according to his need. They must go out and gather it for himself. Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever, that's any man, you can plug your name in there, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Each and every one of those children of Israel had to gather manna for themselves according to their need. Each and every person in this room that is saved had to come to Christ personally themselves. You're not going to make it to heaven based on your parents' salvation or your grandparents' salvation. It is a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. They both must be personally received. And lastly, Israel's response to manna and our response to Christ. Number four, they both must be received while there is an opportunity. In Exodus 16:21, it says that the manna laid on the ground and the sun came out and it waxed hot and it melted. It was only there for a period of time. And you and I only have but a vapor that we're here on this earth. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. We're here for a little while and then it vanisheth. We're gone. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There will come a day, if you're not saved, you will draw your last breath, and there will be no second chances. There is no purgatory. They both must be received while there is an opportunity. And the last thing we're going to look at is the comparison of manna and the Word of God. Manna and the Word of God. Turn back to Exodus 16. So we know Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, analyzing manna and the Bible, manna and the Word of God. Number one, look at verse 31. The Bible says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Both manna and the Word of God, they are, as I mentioned before, white. They're both pure. They're both holy. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. There's nothing we can do to improve upon the Word of God. There's nothing we can do to purify it even more. It is already pure. It is already holy. Manna and the Word of God. Number two, look at verse 21, Exodus 16. Verse number 21, it says, "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating." And they gathered it every morning. They both sustain throughout the day. My preferred time to read the Word of God is when I wake up in the morning. That is, I believe, what works best for a Christian. If you can feed on the Word of God, that helps you and sustains you throughout the day. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." What a wonderful privilege that we have the Word of God, and we can wake up every morning and feed on the pure, sustaining words of God. The manna sustained them throughout the day. God's Word will sustain us throughout the day. Number three, again, verse 21. "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. They both satisfy and fill you up." The blessing here is you cannot feed too much on the Word of God. You cannot feast too much on the Word of God. It's full, it's free. The Bible, or the hymn that we sang this evening, Christ saying, "Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. He will fill you up." Psalm 81:10, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Every time I read that verse, I just picture us opening our mouth wide and God coming in with a spoon, feeding us. They both satisfy and fill us up. The manna was enough for the children of Israel. It filled them up each and every day, and the Word of God will fill us up if we feed on the bread of life, the Word of God. And then lastly, the manna and the Word of God. Number four, they are both sweet. Look at verse number 31, Exodus 16. "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." How many like honey? I love honey. I had honeybees in Tennessee. I never got any honey. I was disappointed, but I love honey. Number four, they are both sweet. Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. They are sweeter than honey." The manna from heaven tasted like that of honey. God's Word, the Bible says, is sweeter than honey. They are both sweet. So at this time, I want to go to the next slide. This will be our last slide, I believe. You may not be able to make it out completely, but it's a map. And so this is the wandering through the wilderness. And so if you're able to see kind of there in the left top corner, number one, it says Rameses. That would be where the children of Israel were in Egypt. That's where they began their journey. And when I saw this, it really brought to life a lot that I studied here. So number one would be kind of them leaving Egypt, and they traveled down to number two, number three, and they crossed over the Red Sea. Now you have to remember that the Red Sea, when I initially thought about the Red Sea, I imagine maybe, it's kind of silly really, but I imagine maybe a river, and it was maybe a half a mile long or a quarter mile long. But here you're talking about the Red Sea. I don't know exactly how long it is, but the miracle was huge. They crossed over the Red Sea and continued on. Of course, we know that the Egyptian soldiers were swallowed up in the Red Sea. And they make their way down all the way. If you can see number eight, at the very, very bottom, number eight, that's Mount Sinai. And here, the Bible says they spent about a year there. And so if you're able, turn to Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter number 10. I hope to make this map make more sense and come to life here. Numbers chapter number 10. So the children of Israel, wandering through the wilderness 40 years, at this point, they're at Mount Sinai. Of course, we know that Moses goes up and brings the Ten Commandments back to the children of Israel. The children of Israel wondering where Moses has gone. Aaron kind of takes charge and builds this idol, this calf, molten calf made of gold. But I want you to look at Numbers chapter number 10. And let's begin in verse number 11. So they've spent about a year here at Mount Sinai. Verse 11, and it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So we go all the way from Exodus 16 to Numbers 10. In all that portion of the Bible, the children are there wandering in the wilderness and come to Mount Sinai. And here we read in verses 11 through 10, Numbers chapter 10, 11 through 13, that they're leaving Mount Sinai. Turn the next page, Numbers 11. I want you to look at these verses. Numbers 11, look at verse number 1. When I pause, you say the next word. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. There was sin. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Sounds like bad breath. Verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. We read all that to see that they were no longer satisfied with the manna from heaven. The manna that was like a wafer tasting of honey. Here now, they're complaining. They're saying, back in Egypt, we were full. We were satisfied. You brought us out here to die. We ate all these many things, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. And so they took it upon themselves to change the manna from heaven. There have been many people that have tried to change the bread of life, to change the Word of God, to change it to their liking, to fit their needs, to make it more acceptable to them. I was watching a sermon just the other day, and someone said that the NIV has 55,000 less words than the King James Version of the Bible. Now, I'm not here to try and belittle or badger anybody about the version of the Bible, but as you've heard many times, things that are different are not the same. And here we see the children of Israel, they've taken this manna who's tasting of honey, and the Bible says that they ground it in meals, they beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. If I was going to eat something, I'd much rather taste honey than oil. But they tried to change this manna from heaven. So if we continue on from number 8, marching up, from number 8 to number 12 up there, Kadesh Barnea, the Bible says it was about an 11-day journey. But now remember, you have about 2.5 to 3 million people walking through the wilderness. An 11-day journey, but they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. At number 12, Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent spies northward up into Canaan to spy out the land. Of course, we know the result of that. But they continue on from number 12, coming back down, back up to 13, 14, get all the way back up. If you look at number 15 up there, Moses was given the privilege. Remember, Moses sinned against God and he wasn't going to enter into the promised land. But Moses was given the privilege to look across and see the promised land. And number 15 there, he was able to do that. So this is a map of the route, or what is to be expected of the route of the Israelites through the wilderness. They were fed manna every day, and God guided them through their journey. We have the Bible to feed us each day and guide us through our journey until we reach the promised land. Isaiah 55:11 says that the Lord shall guide thee continually. I've got here a poem of the Word of God that I like to read I've read it once before, but I'd like you to listen to the words and keep in mind the Word of God. It says, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Our warrant should be the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all our hearts should be condemned for want of some sweet token, there's one greater than our heart whose word cannot be broken. So trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things will pass away, God's word will stand forever. To this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Yet though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many trophies of love from the Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide, it's a friend by my side, and it will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. There was a day when the disciples came to Christ and he asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And we won't turn there, but Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 11. Jesus is teaching them how to pray and he says to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we can pray on both sides of the coin on that one. We can pray for our sustenance, food, and we can pray from the Word of God. Lord, give me what it is you have for me today that will sustain me through this day. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 15, they called it manna. You know what manna means? Manna means, what is this or what is it? And still today, the Jews are blinded to the bread of life. They're blinded to who Jesus is. They're still wondering, who is He? What is He? They still don't believe that He is the Savior come from heaven down here to earth to pay for the sins of the whole world. And then lastly, turn to Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5 will end here. As you're turning there, we've come all the way from number 1, traveling from Egypt down to Mount Sinai, number 8, up to number 12. He sent the spies into Canaan, back down and back up. Moses was able to look across to the Promised Land. They crossed over the Jordan River, and to number 18, they finally made it to the Promised Land. I want you to look at Joshua chapter number 5, look at verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal. I don't know if you can see it up there, but right next to number 18 it says Gilgal. Look at verse number 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Verse 12, and the manna ceased, it stopped, on the morrow after they had eaten of the corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. God has given us His Word while we are alive here on earth. He gave the Israelites manna from heaven as they wandered 40 years through the wilderness. They crossed over the River Jordan and obtained the Promised Land. They no longer needed manna from heaven. The Bible says it ceased coming down from heaven. The manna ceased. You and I, when we reach that Promised Land that God has promised us, our home in heaven, we'll no longer need this physical copy, for we'll have the Word of God standing before us. We'll see Him face to face when we reach that Promised Land. In a sense, the manna will stop, because when we get to our Promised Land, we will get to see and experience the Word personally. Let's pray. We're going to have an invitation here tonight. It was more of a Bible study. I'm not really expecting a lot of people to the altar. I believe that The Lord can work in hearts in any service, in any way, any day, any time. But I just felt compelled to have an invitation. And so I'd like to pray, if you'd bow your heads in prayer, and then we'll sing our hymn here. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can look at manna from heaven, and we can see Jesus Christ in many different ways. We thank you for your word, Lord, how we can study and examine it, and Lord, how you search our hearts and study and examine us. Lord, we thank you that as you claimed, you are the bread of life. We thank you that your word will sustain us each and every day. It will feed us and give us exactly what we need. Lord, may we understand the power that is contained in your word. Lord, help us to fall in love with your word. Wonderful words of life. Help us to search the scriptures daily. Help us to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Lord, feed us. Send down from heaven what we need. May we do our best to wake up each and every morning and spend time with you in your word. And may the scriptures come alive. Lord, we do look forward to that day when we meet you face to face and we enter the promised land, our home in heaven. But until then, Lord, guide us. As we wander through our wilderness, as we wander through this life, guide us, direct us, teach us, feed us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're able to stand.